This is Curse of the Marketer, and I'm Brady Sadler. In the last episode, I talked a little bit about something I observed watching Chef's Table, the Netflix series, and the fact that multiple chefs followed a similar path. They did their apprenticeship, they went out on their own, and they initially started copying or just doing exactly the same style that they learned. And then they realized that that just wasn't going to work. It wasn't satisfying personally, and it wasn't really going to help them make their mark. Then they started to embrace things that were true to them, things that they knew from growing up and their culture, things that they found based on geography that they could weave in, and they found their voice, so to speak. And then they had breakout success. And I wanted to chat with my buddy Kyle Mosier, who's a multidisciplinary artist. Has a really cool visual style, also makes music, and he had once shared a story with me about a mentor of his in art school who I think really paralleled this idea of what it takes to find your own voice and the magic that lies in that. So let's give Kyle a call and see if he can share some of that experience with us. Kyle, what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for making the time.
Absolutely.
So I can't get this out of my head. The other day you shared with me this lesson, this insight that you got when you were in college from a professor who made a real impression on you, and to this day you said was just such a huge influence. And I wanted to unlock that little nugget for more people and share it out there. Setting the stage, you were in art school, you had not been formally trained prior to that. You meet this professor and she kind of changes your perspective. Tell me again kind of how that unfolded.
Yeah, absolutely. So initially, extremely intimidating from someone with not a fine art background, being in a fine art school. So from the get go, I go in there and a lot of the stereotypes you have, for artists are, sort of reserved. And here comes this woman who's loud, unapologetic. She knows who she is, and she's really a renegade in the field of art. And her and I hit it off personality wise, and it was the universe had it seemed like had aligned us. We had very similar backgrounds, but she taught me two lessons. The first sort of technical lesson was embrace your hand, which is kind of boring art jargon. And the second that really vibed with me was she said embrace. Embrace who you are, or find out who you are as a person, and you'll be able to find yourself as an artist. And yeah, essentially, she was, she was like, find your hand and draw like exactly what you see, and put it into your art. So the reason why, I guess, to why that was important for me was, I hadn't had a formal background in art, and it was like find what I liked aesthetically and just do that. And it for me, I guess the thing, it would be very easy for her as a teacher to be like, hey, this is how you, this is how you draw, a person, or how you render. And for her, it was not about that. It was about really finding out who you are as a person and putting that onto the canvas, or onto the paper. And it didn't matter what it looked like, technically, but it was what it felt like. It was capturing the feeling of the art, or capturing the feeling of who you were, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost counterintuitive because, like you said, you would think that the lesson would be here, get these critical sort of foundational elements down, learn to do it exactly like, these masters or this process has proven to be successful. But it wasn't that. It was just go straight to do your thing. And obviously you did have some foundation
in terms of the basics. But I'm interested in the fact that she really overemphasized that other part, that just pure exploration of yourself. And it feels like a bit of a, it almost feels backwards, right? Because it seems like she's saying you had everything you needed independent of anything that she could teach you.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always that balance, right? I think balance is important, and for she was way on one side, but her lessons really resonated with me, or those teachings really resonated with me. I see from the get-go, it was always about finding a signature style in art. That was the number one most important thing for me, which is why her lessons, you know, resonated so well with me, because I wasn't really concerned with, we have cameras, right? So we have cameras, so we can capture the world around us perfectly. Everyone has a phone on their camera right now. So I don't want to, she's like, I don't want to see, you know, what it looks like to look like when it's photographed. And people who can draw like that are amazingly talented. But for me, that stuff all seems really stagnant. If when people are able to paint or draw hyper-realistic, it's really stagnant because, you know, if I want to see it like that, I'll just take a picture. And the things right now, because art's everything's been done right now, so it's like it's really hard to be original. And we just live in a world where we're really saturated with everyone has a computer, or everyone has recording devices, or everyone has a way, you know, to be in an industry, whether it be music or art. It's very easy to be in the industry, and it's very easy to do those things with all the technology we have. So it's very hard to find something that, you know, at least looks original or has some sort of unique voice. And I think from the get-go, it was always about finding something signature. And, you know, I was mediocre in talent level, but I have a signature, unique style. And that's something, you know, that I really set out to do. And that's what inspires me in life, whether it be art, music, whatever. It's something that has some sort of unique voice or unique originality to it, or and you know, you can, you know, we can go into the art aspect of, you know, yeah, you got to study the masters in order to, you know, develop a unique voice. But I just think that sort of letting go of, you know, I have to be technically the best, that I think nowadays my theory is that doesn't matter. I don't like being technically the best or having the best singing voice or having the best drawing hand. Like, show me who you are. Show me, I want to see the flaws, but I want to see you do it in an intellectual way and make it beautiful, make it your own.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that applies so broadly. And that's why it resonated with me. You know, I don't do a lot of literal, you know, artwork in terms of drawing or painting. I do a little bit of collage work, in some ways inspired by what you've done, but it applies in no matter what field you're in terms of that unique voice. Another friend who I like to follow along through his podcast is Jay Akunzo, a host of Unthinkable. And, you know, Jay always talks about intuition, and your unique experiences and situation are truly only yours. And the more of that you put into it, the more it's going to have a chance to stand out, as you said, and be different in a world where it's really hard to do that. But it does feel like there's this, there is a balance, I think you said, in terms of like, you have to have a bit of a foundation, but how do you know when you've got enough of that and you can really go all in on yourself? The examples that I was sharing earlier on the podcast were these chefs who had their apprenticeships. They were formally trained. Then they went out and they just kind of kept doing what they were trained in. And it wasn't until they threw that out the window that they could really not only succeed, but feel good about what they were doing. And I think those things just feed off each other and create momentum.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think how does someone, if you were to give some advice about knowing how to find that balance, like, is it amount of time that you've put in before you can, you know, you have the right to do more of your own thing or be more original, or can you do that from the beginning alongside the process of learning some of the foundational stuff? I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think there's the rules and then there's the exceptions, right? So like, I've seen people who are just so naturally in tune with whatever it is they're doing, whether it be music, art, who are able to just go in there, make a splash, and for it to be so unique and so original that they had no sort of classical training or background in whatever the field is that they're doing. And it's amazing. And almost like, you know, these are like kind of like let's tap into one of your buzzwords, like the renegades or like the disruptors, I guess is the word, right? Who are just able to just go into a field and just like shake shit up with no formal background, or maybe their background is in something else, right? So like, you know, whatever it may be. But, then there's the other side where as I was learning these sort of skills, I was raw, not classically trained. I just had a natural ability. And when I say natural ability, I mean, I was slightly better than the average person who says I can't draw. I was slightly better than that. So my natural inclinations for being able to draw and my curiosity as a child to draw the world around me was certainly there, but no classical training. So I wasn't going into this some like highly touted artist savant. When I was in school, I got in, you know, I was super lucky. And as I was learning these foundations, taking these foundation drawing class and foundation sculpting painting classes, I mean, all the while, my biggest thing was, how do I find my unique style? That was number one. What is my voice as an artist? That's always been my, even when I start a new series or, you know, I'm thinking of what is my unique voice in this and how do I make it mine? So for me, it was like simultaneously, like I had a, you know, sort of a foundation, but I mean, you know, for every rule, there's an exception. So I feel like if I was to tell somebody, if I'm going to talk to an artist now or artists reach out to me, they're always asking me like certain questions. I'm like, let me see your art. And if it's at a place where it's highly unique and highly different, I'm just like, hey, run with that. If I look at it and I can tell, you know, if I can tell that it looks derived or it looks like they're trying to be something they're not, I'm like, hey, you know, I think you should work on, you know, studying a little bit more the masters or study some contemporary art and try to find your own unique voice. So I guess it's a fine line if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think what you're describing is just a process and an exploration, and, you know, each person's going to be different, but it's about going on that journey for yourself and just trying to figure it out. And, you know, I give you a ton of credit because you have been pushing down that path for a long time and you've had a lot of success, but you've also had your challenges and, you know, the story's not even halfway through. And I know that it's taken a commitment. So I mean, I really admire you for that. And, you know, I think lastly, I would say, something you and I talked about the other day as well was this idea of, and you just touched on it, influences from other aspects of life flowing into whatever you're channeling your creative energy into and how that impacts, what you do. Talk a little bit about how you've kind of viewed that and how it has impacted your process of finding your voice.
Sure. Are you talking about like, you know, outside like musical influences and stuff or more?
I mean, anything. You've got so many different interests. And I mean, that the name of this show is Curse of the Marketer. And the idea is really, it's a way to say, you know, just be curious, take in everything you can, decide what you want to keep and work with, throw out the rest. But that idea of kind of just, you know, always finding different areas of interest and inspiration is hugely beneficial. And I know that in finding your voice, you did a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I, one of my favorite, I guess my hero, if I was to really like parallel my career path or what I would want to be, would be Pharrell. And, you know, Pharrell has done everything under the sun, from furniture design to, you know, music, to clothing design. And, you know, him in itself, like he's an artist by the truest sense. And one of my favorite sayings that he had was when he discovered Maggie Rogers, which is like a viral video now. I'm sure anyone's seen it, but he's at NYU doing a masterclass, and he's talking and he's listening to her music and he's blown away. He and she talks about how she's from the coast of Maryland and she was a folk banjo player, and she went on this, like, she was all about analog music, and she went on this huge trip to Europe and took all this time off and discovered dance music, and it was so foreign to her, and she started to infuse that into her folk music. And the thing that blew me away was, he's like, this is so unique and so special, and if you just have the I'm gonna butcher the quote, but basically he's like, if people just had it in them to seek, just go and seek and take that journey and find out who they are, when something really special is created. And that's sort of like been my career trajectory for the last 11 years, was just to seek out things that inspired me. And music had always been the backbone of everything that I'd ever done in my life. I dabbled with writing. I was always sort of creative, but I knew that when I went to the art school, that the traditional fine art was beautiful, but it seemed very stagnant. And it seemed like this traditional drawing, painting thing was, it wasn't being pushed forward. And I wanted to take contemporary art, which was very derived. Everything kind of looks the same. Everyone's trying to jumping on these trends and these waves. And I wanted to merge the two worlds. So my subject matters had always been rappers, rap lyrics. And then the technical side had always been illustration. And when I say illustration, I don't mean like storytelling. I mean like hard lines with paint. So as opposed to painting, which would be like soft lines or very painterly. So I was using line, I was using paint, and I was combining those two. And it wasn't until I discovered synthetic cubism, which is, you know, a movement of art from the 1900s. So here I discovered that it was basically using collage as a form of fine art. Picasso was one of the biggest people who spearheaded that movement, but he was taking papers, cutting it up, and he was creating these cubist sort of instruments. And I thought it was beautiful. And I took those techniques and then I started applying it to rappers and started my signature portrait. So here we have, like fine art from the 1900s, or a technique from the 1900s combined with rappers. And it's no accident that I have such a unique style. It's no accident I've dared to seek and found these two worlds and mash them together. But I see a lot of portraits that are being done right now. Sorry, I'm I'm getting over a cold, so I'm like super congested. So
okay.
I see these portraits that are being made now of, I've been doing this for 11 years, so I'm sure I'm not the only one creating hip hop portraits, but it seems very derived. And it's like, you know, people who dare to seek, like Shepard Fairey, you know, created this signature style, and he has a signature style. I can tell when an artist is really locked into who they are and locked in and has dared to seek, because you can see it and you can feel it in the work. And, you know, it's the same goes with music. But that's sort of the history of how I was able to really go on this exploration and combine all these worlds together.
It's great. Yeah. Well, a real true lesson in terms of that seeking, and appreciate you sharing it. Where can people find your work or hit you up online?
Yeah, sure. So it's my website's Kyle Mosher. It's KYLEMOSHER, KyleMosher.com. And all of my social platforms, I only have one. It's Instagram. It's the THE Kyle Mosher, KYLEMOSHER. That's me on Instagram, or you can just put my name into Google, and then I'm sure it'll bring up lots of stuff.
Lots of great stuff. Yeah, man, it's been so great to collaborate with you on so many different projects over the years for big brands and small and personal creative projects. And another one that we've got coming up that I haven't announced yet, but I'm excited to unleash that in the coming weeks. So, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for making the time, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.